From the Gospel, a young man came up to Jesus, kneeling and saying, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." This question that the young rich man asked is a very, very important question. What do we do to have eternal life? Another way of asking the question is, what do we need to do in order to experience salvation? And it's a question that I've wrestled with since a little boy. And I've had answers to that question, but I'll have to say, my answers to that question have grown over the years, especially in our Holy Orthodox Church. Grown in understanding, not just the how, but even the what. What does it mean? The what. It's not just to have eternal life in the world to come. That's certainly huge, to be with God in that heavenly place. And with the saints, and versus in that other place, a place of darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, and regret forever and ever, torment. None of us want that place. We want that good place with the Lord. But it's not just a question about the future. It's also a question about salvation, how we live now. And how we experience our life now. And in fact, how we live our life now has impact on that ultimate destiny, that life to come. All of that is that what of salvation. In looking at the how, the rich man thinks, it's what do I do? And he has a checklist of things. And it's the commandments, keeping the commandments of God. And there's nothing wrong in that, rather all that is right in keeping the commandments of God. Of course, that's part of it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But salvation is not just a checklist. Salvation is tied to this relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why he says at the end, our Lord does, take it a step further. The ultimate, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And that following of the Lord necessarily involves, it did for that rich man, leaving things behind that held him in its grip, that prevented him from following Jesus. And for every person, there are things in our life that need to be set aside if we are to really, really follow him. But that salvation, the essence of it, is that following of Christ. That following of Christ. And then you begin to unpack that. What does that look like? It's becoming his disciple. It's becoming like him. It's the whole purpose of the commandments, which is to really love God and to really love others with a sacrificial love. When I was at our Antiochian convention, Father Kalinick gave a wonderful sermon about this, about love. And I remember it well because he said, we often think to love God, love others, the opposite of that is to hate. The opposite of love is to hate. And he said, no, that's not what our church fathers teach. Our church fathers teach the opposite of real love that we desire and God desires for us. The opposite of that is self-love. Self-love. It's like the world revolves around me, and I'm here to sort of take care of myself, indulge myself, and that's what gets in the way of loving God and loving other people. When we embrace what it means to be a Christian, to be like Christ, it's a different path. It's a very different path. And you find yourself in losing yourself. It's a paradox. That's what the Lord said. People want to build up themselves. The way you build up yourself is surrender yourself to Christ. And then He has a way of taking care of what needs to be built up inside you, rebuilt inside you, as you lay aside what needs to be laid aside. Well, the process then, if you look at the epistle today, I think it's very interesting. St. Paul gets to the basics. And what does he say? He says that he's passed on to the church at Corinth what he has received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, to the 12, after he was raised. And then St. Paul says, even to 500 brethren, 500. Some of them have fallen asleep. And then he says, last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to St. Paul. If you really want eternal life and want it the right way in this relationship with Jesus Christ, then what is required, as St. Paul lays it out here to the church, is, I call them three C's. The first one, consider, consider, consider. Consider the facts of history. There was a real Jesus. A real Jesus of Nazareth who was born, who lived, who died. And then the fact he appeared. He appeared after death. Consider. I remember studying school and pondering these things, looking at other religions of the world, other philosophies. And the fact kept drawing me to. And then there were his disciples who were, they were men who were fearful. They were not at first believers. And then these men, something happened, and then they became so convinced through their consideration that they gave everything. They gave everything. And they became, most of them, martyrs. They gave their life for Christ. Everything. Consider, consider. If you really do take the time to consider, to ponder it, to study it, I believe most people will come to the conclusion it's more than just the fact of history that Jesus was born and who died and maybe appeared, but something much more than that. And that's what St. Paul is getting at when he says, Christ, the Messiah, Christ, he's the one who came. And he died not just a death that was tragic and unfair, but he died for our sins. It had purpose. And he rose again. Again, it had purpose to show a conquering of death and bringing life to the world, to those who are joined to him. And so he appeared. And so he appeared. And St. Paul uses that word of himself, one untimely born. Untimely born. What does that mean? That means we can be born in Christ. We can be united to him. That's a new life. A new life where we are joined to him. I was untimely. I wasn't the first, but thank God I'm not the last. Born to him. Now that's beginning to connect dots. And St. Paul, then he says, some of those 500 are now asleep. That's an interesting way of talking about death. But that's the way the Lord changes the way we not just look at death, but what death really is. It's not the end. They've fallen asleep. And their bodies to arise again at the second coming. And their souls with the Lord. And so that's very important language. When you consider, and then get to this point of, after your consideration, okay, I connect dots. I'm a believer. Then you make a commitment. I seek to be a Christian, a real Christian, a follower of this Jesus, my Lord. And then you take it a step further, my Lord and my God. That's commitment. And that commitment happened to those disciples. That commitment happens to each of us at some point, I pray, in our lives. Even if you've grown up in the church, Saint Theophan the Recluse, great Orthodox credentials, but he told people it's important, even for people that grow up in the Orthodox Church, to come to a point in their life where they consciously decide, I want to be a Christian. That's very important. And maybe you decide it over and over again because you'll be tempted and you'll fall. But then what do? Stay down. You get up again with repentance and renewed faith. When I went to my uncle's funeral many years ago, the preacher said at my uncle's funeral, I never forgot it, we're most thankful. There are a lot of things you can say you're thankful for at a funeral for somebody, but I'm most thankful that this man, that was my Uncle John, he truly made a decision to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And that's the most important decision he ever made in his life. So true. The rich man in today's gospel, he couldn't get there. He couldn't get there. And he went away sorrowful. And so it is. With choice, you can do one or the other. But may the Lord help us all and people we love to make that good choice. Consider, commit. Two. The third C, I said there's three, is cooperate. Cooperate. Our salvation is a gift of God to us. It's a gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. The Lord in his mercy came to save us. But whether we continue then, even after our commitment to cooperate with him, that has everything to do with our ultimate happiness in this world. And our ultimate eternal happiness with the Lord in the life to come. Cooperate. And here we all face ongoing temptations as a Christian. Probably many Christians continue to face moral issues in their life and passions they struggle against. Others face, if you want to call them just passion, character flaws or well, that's just part of being human. Sometimes people make that excuse. Saint Piman, who we remember today, the great ascetic in Egypt, he wrote so many things and counseled so many people. And he said, sometimes people, they fast really well, keeping the fast, but then they have bitterness in their heart. They're in the grip of anger. Like this rich man was in the grip of money. People get in the grip of all kinds of things. And this wonderful elder saint tried to help people be free, let go, surrender. Get to that point where whatever it is, that's keeping you from becoming like Jesus. And you know what he's like. Lord, I surrender. I sacrifice. I give it to you. I let go. So that he can begin to take us then on that way of really following him. Saint Piemann said, it's like we have sometimes when we have these wrong thoughts, we have water or we have fire, and we can either feed those thoughts with fire and then we get more inflamed, or we can take the water, the cleansing water, the renewing water, renewing baptismal water, pour that on and let the Holy Spirit, the living water, take away the fire of whatever is bubbling up inside and give us what? Give us peace, real peace. Peace that only God can give to help us live and to help us love other people and truly love God. That's a Christian life. At our convention this last August, it was actually July, the producer, Yelena, who made the movie, wonderful movie, Man of God, she was there. And we watched it and we talked about it afterward with her. It's a beautiful movie if you haven't seen it. It's about the life of Saint Nectarius. In that movie, there are several touching scenes, but one at the end really grabbed me, grabbed us all. We talked about it. It's where Saint Nectarius was talking with, it was like an antagonist, this school president who didn't like what Saint Nectarius was doing. He was talking about too much spiritual stuff in the school, and he just wanted to focus on academics alone. And finally, at the end, this president came to Saint Nectarius, and this was the dialogue. He says, "I'm the one who dislikes you. Maybe I even envy you in a weird way, although I loathe your ways." And then it goes on, "Are you a real Christian?" And Saint Nectarius said, "I try. I try. I try to be a real Christian." Beautiful. It went on, the dialogue. "I see you have found peace in him." The him, Christ. "So I have to say this is good." Saint Nectarius looked back at him and said, "Are you at peace, Mr. President?" And then there was a long pause. And he said, "No, I am not. But I don't care about that. I only care about truth." Saint Nectarius said to him, "Without peace in your heart, you will never be able to know the truth." Well, I don't know what happened to that man. I don't know exactly what happened to the rich man in this story. But I pray that all of us, faced with all of these things in our life that challenge us, even at times just mindsets that we have that are wrong mindsets, we can let it go and truly be a follower of Jesus Christ and receive his gift of salvation that gives to us love and peace and purpose in our life as we cooperate with him. Consider, commit, cooperate. That's salvation in the full sense that I've grown into understanding it in our wonderful church. May God bless all of us now as we receive Holy Communion that sustains us in that process, that sustains us in the commitment, that cleanses us, that renews us and strengthens us in that union with our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.